Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini. And today I have the special privilege of introducing to you Coach Christy Schwarzlos. Did I say that right?
That's correct.
Awesome. Okay, so Christy is a resident of Texas. Tell us a little bit about your family and kind of where you're from.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you, Amy, so much for having me on. I was a big fan of the podcast before I became a coach. So that's part of the reason why I'm here.
Aww, that makes me so happy.
So I love the podcast, and I am honored to be on it.
Well, thank you for your support. We appreciate that so much.
I was born in Louisiana. In New Orleans, and my parents live there now. They live in Slidell, Louisiana, so I go there quite a bit. But we moved in my childhood. We moved about every 6 years, so I had to adapt. And I would say the last 30 years, I've lived in Houston, Texas, and currently with my husband now, I got remarried in my 40s. We live in New Braunfels, Texas, which is between Austin and San Antonio.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
And so can you tell us a little bit about your educational background and your certifications?
Yes. I have a Bachelor's of Science in Nutrition and Dietetics from the University of Texas Health Science Center. I've got an ACE. Well, I had an ACE certification. That one I probably need to redo. And then I'm ISSA certified. I did a PROPTA PROPTA in LA, which was one of my favorite ones. It's not nationally accredited, but it was just a really good hands-on that I did with some of the IFBB pros. It was really good. I had to go down to LA every weekend, so it was
a
good one. And then PN1 certified, and I think that's it.
Can you tell us what the abbreviation stands for, the one that was the IFBB one?
It was Professional Personal Training Association.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then your Precision Level 1 certified.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
So what inspired you to get into dietetics and have that as a degree?
I love this question because it started very, very young. When I did competitive gymnastics from the age of 5 till I was about 18, and I did it every day, Monday through Saturday, for all those years, and it's pretty crazy what gymnasts go through, but I had very positive coaches growing up, and I had to move a lot, so I had a lot of coaches. So every time we'd move, you know, because I did it privately, I did it, you know, competitively, so... But one of my coaches gave me a book called Eat to Win. I was 10 years old and I read that book from cover to cover and I hated to read. And I could never, you know, remember anything I would read. You know, I had poor comprehension, but I read that book and I just could not believe that you could eat and perform better. So I started actually dieting, but dieting in a positive way because I had positive coaches. Mm-hmm. Because gymnastics can be very, you know, they focus so much on your body image and being small and being little, but my coaches were very encouraging. And so this book really, that's when it all started. And so I'd always had a love for fitness and nutrition. And I just remember that so vividly. And that's how I got started. So I started eating healthy at age 10.
And that's it's so great to hear that. It's really refreshing because that sport is one that and like dancing and cheerleading, it's like a lot of eating disorders seems like get perpetuated from that. And but I can see the background too, just in your genetic and your athletic structure too of your muscles. You have it's very telling that you have that base of the gymnastics build with your muscles.
So it helped me a lot. It taught me a lot for sure.
Yeah. So What would you say was one of the most, other than obviously the nutrition piece, what were some other valuable things that some of the coaches and mentors taught you along the way?
Well, one of my very first coaches was in Alabama. He was a strong Christian man, had a strong faith. So it was funny because after we would do our, like the vault where you run down and you dismount and you land, the team would yell Sita and then our name. And it would go, Sita, yay, Christy, you know. And they'd always say that, well, it was Christ is the answer. And that stuck with me forever. I mean, I still think of that. And so that was one of the coaches. I think that gave me my positive attitude. And he would always make fun of me because I'd smile all the way down the runway when I would run to the vault. And he's like, you're the only person I know that smiles all the way down the runway. So he was very influential in my life. And that was one of the coaches. And then some of the others just, you know, taught me to have a positive attitude. You know, we couldn't say can't. If we said we couldn't do something, we had to put money in a jar. You know, so it taught me discipline. It taught me to be positive, and it taught me to believe in myself. So it just, without gymnastics background, I certainly wouldn't be where I am.
Awesome. Okay, so tell us about what inspired your competition journey.
As far as bikini competition?
Yeah.
Well, being a competitor, because I competed, you know, all those years till I was 17, even though I have very, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I have social anxiety really bad. So every time before I'd compete, I would get extremely nervous to the point where I felt like I couldn't do it. You know, like my stomach would turn. I felt like I was going to throw up. And I remember my dad always saying, get out there, you got to do this, because I would not want to compete. And so, but over the years, you get kind of used to that, and but I did have anxiety really bad. So as I got older, the first one I did at 45. So I did it later in life. I didn't think I had the confidence in myself to do it when I was younger, but I wish I would have, because I waited so long. But so I did it as a bucket list birthday goal. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to face my fear. I mean, that's one of the biggest fears, getting in a bikini in front of everyone. I mean, yeah. I was the one that would be, you know, at the pool and cover myself as soon as I would get up. So I wanted to feel confident at 45. So that was the main reason I set that goal. And I trained myself, and it was terrible at the time. Because I didn't know anything about the competitive part of it, you know.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about that, a little bit more detail. So why did you say it was a disaster? Because I believe you placed, right?
Well, because I didn't, I was a trainer, so I thought I knew it all, you know, or not knew it all, but I thought I knew enough.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, I know how to lose body fat and put on muscle. I've done it for years, because I was a trainer since the age of 28. I'll tell that story later, but I knew nothing about posing. And so posing it's pretty important. It's almost, you know, that can keep you from winning. So I taught myself how to pose, and I did get a coach for like one time, and then I watched videos and taught myself the rest. But so I got up there and just posed and didn't quite know. And with anxiety and not knowing how to pose, I wasn't real confident.
Oh, bless your heart.
So that was part of it. I didn't have the confidence, but I did it. I got on there and I did it. And I said, I'm never doing this again.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So the diet part and the prep part, I did all right. It was the posing and the presentations.
Yeah. And so you placed, I believe, second?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. But you said, I'm done with this.
Great. My bucket list.
Yeah. So now 5 years later, you're 50 as of this year. So tell us about what changed there and what made you decide to get back on stage again.
It never went away after that. I felt like I could have done better. So, you know, I would think about it and I'd be like, oh gosh, I think I could have done better, you know, and I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. Every year it would come up and I'd make excuses, you know, no. Well, my big 50 was coming up and I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it again. I did it at 45. I can do it at 50. And I said, this time I'm going to go all out and I'm going to do it right. And I'm just going to give it my all. And that's when I called Joe.
So had you tried a couple of online trainers prior to us?
Or yeah.
Was it yes, the I first did. Frog that you kissed? No, just kidding.
I tried a couple of them online and I just felt like another number, you know. I mean, they're good coaches and I won't mention any names, but I didn't feel a connection with any of them. No personal connection. And I wanted someone that I could like call up and be very vulnerable and feel okay telling, you know, some of your, because it's a lot. You got to go through a lot with your coach. And I just never felt like I could talk to any of them.
Yeah. And sometimes crave that connection.
Yeah. Crave the connection. And I was afraid sometimes, you know, to reach out. So I would just, you know, ignore it and deal with it. If I had a question, I would try to figure it out myself. So I just never felt that connection. And I'm like, there's got to be coaches, because I feel very connected with my clients and I want them to come to me. That is, I mean, that's keeps that motivation going. It keeps the passion going. It keeps it just, and I like that. And I wanted to have the same in return.
Yeah. So tell us about what your career is and kind of your path once you graduated, because we kind of skipped over that and went right to the competition part. So okay. Give us your background and what you actually do for a living and the gym you own and all that.
Okay, I'll try to be quick on this because this can get long. But so I got married very young and I had a baby very young. And I coached gymnastics because that's the only job I could find. Well, I coached while I was going to college too. I was a single mom for a while. So I coached and commuted. And I coached because it allowed me to bring my son to practice with me, work with me. And he could take my class or he could hang out at the gym with me. So it kind of saved me in daycare.
Oh, yeah.
So I did that, but it didn't pay very well. And so I needed money, and then I started doing one of the moms there at the gym got me a corporate job, and that is so not me, but I did it because I needed to do it, and I needed the money. Well, I learned real quick that I was not happy doing that. Mm-hmm. So one day at the gym, when I was working at the other gym, this lady at the gymnastics gym, this lady always came in and she would watch her kid work out, and she was in workout clothes. And one day I asked her, you know, what she did. And she says, I'm a personal trainer. And I said, she goes, it is the best job in the world. You can make your own hours and you can take your kid to their sporting events. And I thought, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. And so I started studying to get certified. And it's so weird how it all worked out, because I was going to go just work at a gym, but it was a whole money thing too, because I was a single mom, and they took so much of the percentage, you know? So I was like, I could not make, and I had it. And at this point I was almost graduating too from nutrition school, but I also couldn't find a job coming out of school. It was just this, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life basically.
Right.
But I still wanted to be a trainer, and I wanted to work with clients with weight loss. I wanted to go that direction. I didn't want to work in a hospital. So I just remember praying really hard about it. Like, you know, put someone in my life, help me, talk to me, show me what path I need to go. And so one day I was up at the baseball field with my son, and this girl came in. This girl was there at the baseball fields, and she said, you are always in workout clothes. Because I was always on my Pokemon. And she, and I said, well, so are you. You know, what do you do? And she goes, well, I own a personal training studio in the neighborhood. We lived in a really big neighborhood. And so I said, I go, no, and she said, and I just told her, I said, yeah, I'm always in workout clothes. And I said, so if I become a trainer, will you hire me? And she said, absolutely. So that's how I started personal training. And she ended up getting a she was going to move away, and so she gave me all her clients. So I had
Oh,
like it
wow.
worked out
That's
really well.
good.
I had like 24 clients right off the bat.
Wow, that's impressive.
And that was like in my late, I was in my 20s at this point, so.
And so then when did you eventually own your own studio? Because if you can share with the audience what your
This
gym
is
is
a
called and where you're located. I know you at some point moved there in between, but
Yes. So this is a cool story too. So the same girl that gave me this opportunity to be a trainer and gave me all those clients, well, she ended up not moving away. So she came back, and we worked together in this little small little studio. And I was like, you can have all your clients back. And she's like, no, I'll just get new ones. I was like, okay. So we worked together, and then and I worked together for a while. Well, I had gotten remarried, and my husband at the time got moved to we got moved to California. And so moved Orange County, California. So I lived there for a little while. Well, ended up getting a divorce at 40, moved back to where, to that same neighborhood in that same area. And I called her up and I said, I need a job. Can I have my old job back? Well, at this point, she had moved up. So what was just a small little studio was now was a full service gym. And so she gave me my job back, and some of my old clients came back. It was the coolest thing. So I had instant clients, started training again there. And but this time, I'm single again, and on my own. So I did that with her for a while, and then one day, same thing. I knew I needed to do something else besides just training. I didn't know if I wanted to get my master's and become an RD, because now I'm in my 40s and it's just me and my kids, So it was weird. So one day I was out running, and I just remember praying again about it. Oh God, please just give me a sign, show me what I need to do. Tell me what to just show me the way. And so nothing, I didn't hear anything for like months. And then one day, and I would always stop off in this little gazebo and I'd run and I'd pray. And so remember one of my coaches, he's the one that gave me that strong faith I have. So I was in that gazebo and I was praying again, still nothing. Well, a couple months go by, and she calls me, the girl that I worked with at the gym. And she says, Chrissy, she goes, I'm so tired. I'm just worn out. She goes, do you want to buy the gym for me? And I was like, there's my answer right there. So I said, absolutely, without hesitation. I think God spoke for me because I had no money. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to buy this gym? But I said, yes, I'll do it. And, anyway, I came up with a plan and I found a way to do it. But so yes, yeah, so I bought my first gym, and didn't never been a businesswoman. And it was so, I call her my saving grace. Her name's Missy. And she just those that gym kind of saved me at that time. So not only was I get very emotional about it, but not only was I helping other people, become stronger and confident and independent, they were doing the same for me. So it was pretty cool.
Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. So that was in Houston, right?
Houston, that was
Okay.
life-changing for me. Yes.
Yeah. And then what brought you to your current city? I'm not sure how to exactly pronounce it correctly. So if you could.
Oh, New Braunfels.
New Braunfels. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, everybody wants to say New Braunfels, but yeah, it's New Braunfels. So then I met my husband now, and he's from here, but at the time he lived in Houston. So I met him through a mutual friend. And once my son went off to college, he's like, we need to go, we're going to be in New Braunfels. That's where we need to be. And so I'm like, okay. And I had this gym, right, that I loved, and I had all my clients. And I was like, oh gosh, I didn't want to leave. And finally, it's just kind of weird how it all works out. Somebody approached the, did you wanted to buy the gym, and so I sold it because I knew I might not have that opportunity again. And so I moved to New Braunfels, and that's where I am now. I've
Yeah.
been here three years.
And share the name of your gym with us.
It's called Gym Boutique, and I named it that because it's small. And I did the same exact thing as I did when I first started. I kept it really small because I wanted to do one-on-one with people. I wanted to give them that extra care, that just, and I wanted to, with each one, I focus on nutrition because nutrition is really my passion. So I sit down with each one and we come up with a plan that works for them. And I want them to feel comfortable because gyms are so intimidating for women, and I wanted them to come in and just feel good while they're there,
Yeah, I love that. So, can you tell us what evolved? How did your evolution into online training come about then?
Like with Glam Girl?
Yeah,
Is that?
or just I believe, you were kind of dabbling in that.
Oh yeah, with my yeah, too. With both.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess, I had never really done online until I started competing and I was looking for a coach, and I just needed that accountability, and like I said, that connection with a coach that I felt like I could call and would be there and so I started with that, and then when I was listening to y'all's podcast, I would listen to it every morning on my way to work. And so I started, I guess, with that, with the online. And then when COVID hit, I started doing online clients with, well, a lot of my Houston clients from my gym there, they couldn't find a trainer that they could connect with. So I was able to continue training my clients from Houston
Oh, yeah.
online. So I kind of developed that along the way, and then COVID, really, that's the way it was going. I mean, I think personal training is heading more towards that direction anyway, but I do like the studio part of it as well, the in studio.
Yeah. And so can you tell any listeners that maybe were looking to hire you, what makes you a great online coach? Because it sounds like obviously you're very connected with your relationships, whether it's in person or online, but what are some things that make you unique as a coach?
Okay. Yeah, I would say that, like you just said, I really love being connected with my clients. That just means so much to me. And because I have coach, Chris Nicole is my coach, and she is just hands-on. I just love her to death. Shout out to her. Yeah, and I guess as far as being, I have a somewhat of a nutrition background, so that helps too, I think. And just trying to think of what else would, I guess mostly the personal connection.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, it's all about how much you care about that person, I
I
think.
do so much, and I want them to feel like they can do anything. I guess because I didn't believe in myself until later in life. I was always very insecure. And so as I got older, I learned to believe in self, even though I had a very good upbringing. My dad was always very positive. You have to personally believe. No one else can do it for you. So I guess when I'm working with a client, I want them to just know that they can do anything, because sometimes you got to just have that little extra support.
Yeah. Well, and you walk the walk, so tell us about your competition season with Glam Girl and kind of some of the shows that you have done and how you placed and just kind of that whole experience and how that was different maybe than the one before.
Okay. Huge difference. It was such a positive experience. I cannot thank y'all enough, which is why I am just honored to even be a coach. That is like a dream job for me. So, gosh, where do I start? It's just having the support of the team, you know, and when I went to the, cause I did a show before the team show on my own, and you're sitting backstage and you just feel kind of alone, you know, you're a little nervous. So just having that support of all the girls around you and your coach knowing that you're going to, you know, make sure you don't miss a call out or just helps so much. It helps ease the stress. And it's really, and I love how Glam Girl also has everything. Amy, you're so good about being prepared and being, you're always one step above, which I learned that from you, which makes me a better coach. Because you're one step above everyone else, and you are there, and you are on time, and you're so professional, and I admire you. So I just think it just made the whole experience better. You know, you had your own makeup team, or I just feel so glamorous when I did the team show versus when I did it by myself.
Yeah. So just for the listeners, so they understand. So she did a show by herself where she trained herself, but then when she joined Glam Girl, what she's referring to is she was training with Chris Nicole, but it was like virtual for her first show. So it was there local, right, in Texas?
Yes.
And you still did very well. I believe you.
I got on that one.
I think you got second in your class.
Yeah. I think I got second first in my division, I think.
You did very well. But yeah, then your next show was the team.
Oh, no. You know what? I placed first in the 35. I remember because I did better in that class. I guess it's who shows up, right? So I did better in that class than I did in mine. That's right.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Coach Chris Nicole. Yay.
Yeah, age is just a number. So, and then the team show, you had so many medals, I can't even keep track. They were big, novice and open, and you.
Yeah, placed, that was fun.
Yeah, you swept the show. So then you did the next team show, and this time it was a little bit different because you brought along some of the athletes from your personal training studio, which was cool, in St. Louis.
Yeah, they did really good too. It was a good
neat that you passed that on, and I feel like you're setting a really good example for your clients and inspiring them quite a bit. So what kind of flipped the switch that you wanted to do a national show? Kind of tell us about that and the differences between that and a regional show.
Well, you know, you're always being a competitor and being a trainer for so long, you have to set new goals for yourself. I do strongly believe that because that's what keeps that fire going, you know? Mm-hmm. And it helps me also relate to my clients, you know, when I set goals, cause they got to set goals. But, so I've done a couple of regional shows and I'm like, okay, what's next? I'm ready to take this another step. You know, you get hooked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're kind of hooked to this sport. And so I'm like, I want to do a national show by the time I'm 50. You know, this is what I wanted to do. And it was a huge goal. And I mean, I trained for a while for it because I knew doing those other shows that I was eventually going to get on a national stage. And so, I just wanted to make sure I could compete with these girls because nationally, that's totally different ball game, you know? So I just wanted to make sure I could handle it. And I mean, I did okay. I'm going to commit next year. I'm going to do better. I just keep comparing myself to my last show,
right?
You know?
And that's the way to go. I mean, you can just keep improving your package. But I will say that, you know, you had a huge class. And as Sandy mentioned, for the listeners, she did Masters Nationals. And that was the show that Sandy said that the 50-year-olds were beating out all of the 35-year-olds for the pro cards, because that was the strongest class at that show. And you had probably the biggest, and you still cracked the top 15, which is a great accomplishment, because at Nationals, you know, after 16th, everybody doesn't get a placement. So you got a placement, so that's good.
I was just proud of myself for gracing that stage. I felt like a winner just being up there, because all those girls were so fit. I don't know how they judge.
Yeah. Judging is very hard. Yeah. That is for sure. So out of your kind of last four shows, so you had three regional, you had a national show. What were some of the biggest lessons that you learned? And then kind of what's some of your feedback, and what are you going to do moving forward with your competition journey?
Let's see. Okay, what was the first one?
Okay, I kind of asked you a lot of questions at once. I guess let's start with what are you going to do moving forward as an athlete?
Moving forward, well, I've been training really hard in the gym. I'm going to work on my upper body a little more. You know, always shoulders, of course, shoulders, and a little chest. You know, kind of, even though they say you don't need chest much in bikini, I've neglected it a lot. So I'm not very, I think my shoulders are a little, I think I need a little more chest to fill up my upper body. My shoulders are there. I just need a little bit of chest. I'm going to do that. And then of course, always work on my glutes and try to work in, you know, getting those a little fuller and more conditioned, because that's the hardest part for me, is my lower body. It's the most stubborn area. And I've seen such a huge improvement training with, you know, Chris Nicole. She's helped me so much. And just the conditioning has improved, and it just keeps improving. So I'm going to continue working on that. Just, you know, pushing in.
Yeah. Can you tell us what some of your, you know, any kind of learning lessons that you, throughout these four shows that you've done, any sort of things that you've kind of learned from, that any kind of obstacles that you've had that you've overcome?
Let's see, obstacles. Not getting, just being patient. You know, this sport, it has taught me patience, because it's, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, because the progress takes time. Your body can only do so much, you know, at a given time. So I have learned to be patient with myself and give myself a little bit of grace if I'm not perfect. You know, if I, you know, in the past, I try to follow my plan, you know, especially when I'm getting close to the wire there and you're getting close to getting on stage, you know, I'm sticking to my plan, but you know, you're not perfect. You're going to sometimes, you know, break the diet, or I've learned to, instead of beating myself up, and Chris Nicole was very good with me on this. She's like, use that food as fuel, you know, take that, go have a really good gym workout and just get back on track. And so I've learned to be patient with myself, give myself grace, and just try to do better each day, you know, mm-hmm. If it's so mental. And we beat ourselves up. I think we're our own worst enemy. And I've learned to not do that.
What are some of your favorite parts of living the prep life?
I love the whole prep. The stage part, nah. I'm getting glamorous, but that social anxiety is still there a little bit. I've gotten better. But I love the structure. I love the accountability. Not only having an online coach, I love having that, but accountability to myself, you know, that I can do it. And that if I work hard and I stay consistent, I can do anything, you know. And so I love the whole prep. I love having my food organized. It just keeps me structured. And this sounds crazy, but it keeps me structured in my everyday life. So it kind of helps me all around. It's not just going on stage. It makes me a better coach, and it makes me a better person.
Yes, I totally agree. I feel like it just bleeds into other aspects very naturally. That kind of discipline really cultivates, you know, organization, and it kind of forces you to be extremely organized and driven and
motivated. And I feel, you know, it's when I mean, I've always eaten healthy, but I've noticed over the years, especially being older, a master competitor, I can't handle gluten. You know, Glam Girl did a great job with helping me get my health on track, because my joints hurt a lot. I have a lot of inflammation, and you were so good about that, Amy, about making sure our health comes first. That's why I joined Glam Girls to begin with, is because I saw that you put my health first, and because I had some hormone issues going on. I had joint pain. I had some, you know, digestive issues, and you led me in the right direction. And if you didn't know the answer, you directed me to someone that did. And I mean, Joanna helped me with my hormones. All of it just kind of came together, and I just feel amazing at 50. And I would love sharing that with people, you know?
Yeah, that's so awesome to hear. That makes me very happy. So that's, yeah, I'm like kind of, I feel so good when you say stuff like that. It just makes me feel amazing.
It's so important. Yeah. I mean, the stage is great, but that's not my end all be all, you know. I do it because it's for me, it's more of a hobby. And it helps me to be a better trainer. Am I going to go to, I'm too old to go on to be Miss Olympia, and that's not my goal, but it just helps me be a better person and feel good as I age. And that's really my purpose. That's why I do it.
Yeah. And you had talked about like prepping your food. And so can you share with the listeners, if you do macros, kind of like how your nutrition, and I know your hubby helps you a lot with that. So can you kind of give us a little insight on what works best for you nutritionally?
I do kind of a combination. When I get really close, you know, of course, it's the meal plan that Coach Chris Nicole has laid out for me. I pretty much follow that to a T. But I would say and I still do that even now. Like, I follow my meal plan, but like on the weekends, I do macros and I add in my fun treats, but I still stay within my macros.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
I'll follow the guideline of the meal plan because she gives me choice. Like, I can pick different proteins, different veggies, you know, different carbs. So I do follow that, and then I'll throw in some little fun foods, as I like to say, on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as far as like meal prep goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Meal prep. Oh, yes. My sweet honey does that for me. He changed everything because I used to do it myself and it didn't taste very good. And so now we do it every single weekend. He'll even go to the grocery store. He loves doing it too. He gets his apron on. He goes to the grocery store, gets all my, and then he comes home, he puts his apron on, and he bought a smoker. So he smokes my chicken. Oh, and it's so tender and so yummy. And just does all my milk, all my food, all my meats, and a little bit of my veggies. He's good with seasonings. I'm not very good. So yeah, he does it every weekend for me. We make it fun. We put on the music and we play pool. And
that's awesome. I love that.
And so he's a big beer drinker. So he drinks his beer and I pour my Topo Chico in my wine glass. I pretend I'm drinking and we play pool and do our meal prep and listen to music.
That's awesome. I love that. So how do you navigate date nights when you're on prep?
Same. I do the same thing because I think it's important. I'm pretty disciplined, and once I get my mind set on something, I'm not easily tempted. But I don't want my husband to miss out just because of my goals. You know, I love our date nights. I love going out to restaurants. And so we go out, and I just either I eat a light meal there. You can always find something. I'm not like if we go on a date night, I don't bring a Tupperware or eat out of that, but
right,
I'll order a salad and I'll tell the bartender to pour me a, you know, Topo Chico. Do you have Topo Chico there? I guess so, right?
We do, yeah. It's very popular in Texas, I know though. But that sparkling water tastes so good.
Yeah, sparkling water. And they'll put it in a nice glass for me, and it's really the feel. It's holding the glass in your hand that makes you feel like you're so bougie. You know, exactly. So that's all I need.
That's great. I love that. So, in terms of your, like athlete and, client experiences and things that you do for your athletes, what are some strategies that you utilize to help people adhere to their nutrition and, what are some things that you do for your clients in terms of, because I know nutrition has been your passion for a long time.
Yeah. Just the communication, and it's so much of it is mental. You know, I had a client, in fact, reach out to me yesterday, and she didn't, you know, check in with me. I hadn't heard from her for a while. Like she was kind of, I knew something was going on. So, exactly. So I knew something was going on, and she was afraid that she didn't want to let me down. You know, she's like, I wasn't doing good. And I'm like, it's okay. So I try to make them feel comfortable. You're not always going to be perfect. You know, it's getting back up and getting back on the plan, but communicate with me. So, and if you do feel like you're having a hard time or, I just try to walk through it together and come up with a solution that works. You know, like I had another client, this is kind of a cool story. I have a girl that's coming to be a trainer for me, and she was an online client. She was a total stranger from Instagram, but she lived in the New Braunfels area, and she reached out to me and wanted to work with me online. And so I was like, okay. She said, I never stick to anything is what she told me. And I'm like, okay. And she says, and I've had an autoimmune disease and I just don't feel good and I want to get my health back. So we started off very slow. I've never seen her in person. So, and even though she lived in the area, she felt intimidated to come into the gym. So she, long story short, we started with just walking 2 days a week. And she did macros, started counting her macros. And there would be days where she felt like she just couldn't do it. She would text me, I'm about ready to just go eat everything in the cupboard. So I gave her, I said, oh, let's think about this, you know, and we'd walk through it. We'd talk about it. And I'm like, let's go for a walk. Why don't you go for a walk? Or why don't you get yourself out of the kitchen or ask yourself, are you really hungry? You know, do you want that food? Or are you just bored? Or are you stressed out? You know, because we all eat when we're stressed, or most people do. And so she'd be like, you're right. So she would leave and then she'd go for a walk and then it would pass. You know, so she'd text me and she'd be like, I feel so much better. I didn't want for a walk instead. So just I try to give them different strategies to use, you know, when they feel overwhelmed or because usually it's mental, you know, and so I do that with the clients. But that same girl, she now it changed her life so much. She lost 40 pounds. She was in the corporate world. She wants to be a trainer. I'm like, are you sure? You want to do this? And she's like, yes, I want to help people too. It's so rewarding. And so now she's coming to work with me. So I'm excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Such a great story.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap things up, I just wondered, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wanted to share with the listeners, either about like your coaching or advice for competitors? Anything that we missed that's on your heart?
No, but I do. I am super excited about working with competitors. And if someone is, thinking, oh, I can't do this, but I'd like to do it, and they're not quite sure how to go about, or they don't believe in themselves enough, but I just tell them to go for it anyway, because you learn so much about yourself when you do these shows. It's just, you walk off feeling like you can do anything. So I guess if someone's questioning or wanting to do one but doubting themselves, I just tell them to go for it. Just do it. Step out of your comfort zone, because that's how you grow as a person, is stepping out of that comfort zone and just doing it. You learn so much. And
100%. Yeah.
yeah, I love that. So yeah,
Amazing.
I
Great.
can be.
Yeah, that's great advice. I love that. So if they were wanting to reach out to you, obviously if they would like to apply for your coaching, they can go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the Get Started button. On the drop-down menu, you can request Christy as your coach, and that's right there in the application. But if they wanted to, find you and follow your journey, where can they find you, like on Instagram and things like that?
On Instagram, it's Gym Boutique NB for New Braunfels. And yeah, I have my website on there, and I have my number. They can message me, and I'd love to help them any
Yeah.
way I can.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you so much, and I'm so excited for you to be part of our staff.
Me too,
You're
Amy.
an amazing, inspiring woman, and you care so much about other people. And I think that anyone that does apply to have coaching from you is going to be super blessed, and
Oh.
they'll be lucky to have you as their coach. So, yeah. So thank you so much. You can find us on Glam Girl Bikini on Instagram, and you can also find us on at Prep Life Podcast on Instagram. Please be sure to, leave us comments on what you thought of the episode, and we would just love it if you shared it with a friend or somebody that you feel like this could bring value to them. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off. Thanks for listening, guys.